Welcome to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast, where we dive deep into the heart of innovation, leadership, and transformative ideas shaping the future of education and technology. Each episode is a journey into the minds of visionary educators, thinkers, and leaders who are not just talking about change, they're living it. Real people leading real change. This is where passion meets practice and ideas come to life. Welcome to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast. I am so excited to welcome to the show today, fellow Apple Learning Coach and Apple Distinguished Educator, Dr. Donald Sora, Associate Professor of Music at the University of Virginia's College at Wise, who boasts a diverse teaching portfolio encompassing applied, high brass, conducting, music technology, composition, orchestration, and various other courses. As an Apple Distinguished Educator and recipient of the Outstanding Use of Technology in the Classroom Award, May 2022, Dr. Sora actively supports students and colleagues as an Apple Learning Coach at UVA Wise, an Apple Distinguished School. As an advocate for providing free, high-quality educational resources for his students, he has published 4 books on Apple Books, including Composing with Found Sounds in GarageBand, Everyone Can Create Music with iPad Curriculum Guide, Book of Rhythms and Melodies Volume 1, and Book of Rhythms and Melodies Volume 2. Under his leadership, students in his music appreciation course published 5 introductory books covering eras of classical music. Welcome to the Teach, Lead, Innovate podcast, Donnie.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here with you. Thanks for the opportunity to share with your listeners.
I am so grateful that you have decided to come on and share your wisdom. So thank you very much. Donnie, to start off, could you share with us what initially drew you to the world of music education?
Oh, great question. And I could go on for hours about this, but I'll try to make it brief. As a first grader and a fourth grader in school, I had some truancy issues. So I missed like 40 days of school each of those years. But that likely would have happened again, but I found my place. I found the band room and I found the trumpet. And that was something that instilled, self-confidence, gave me a sense of belonging. And still there's so many students that, you know, when they get a break, it's a lunch break, you'll find themselves hanging out in the band room because the director's there. That's just their safe place. That's the place where they belong. So that was it for me. I began to achieve. I made all district, all state, those kind of things. So some stars in the crown that were, further built that self-confidence, then just developed a love for the art of music, for making music, for consuming music, for even composing music. I would say at an early age, not like Mozart early, but like in, high school, middle school, I would sit around and write some stuff out and take it home and put it in the computer, my first Apple, and to see how it sounded. So just developing that comprehensive love of music all the way around fulfilled my life. And that's what I knew I wanted to do. And I wanted to be able to share that with others to give them the opportunity that was provided for me. I guess that's how I came to do what I am now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Donnie, if you had to identify one thing, what is your favorite aspect of teaching? And what do you love about teaching at UVA Wise?
Oh, okay. Specifically to UV Wise, I've got 1.5 things, if I'm allowed to do that. The first thing is the ability to be the general practitioner. I've already kind of referenced that, but, yes, I have a PhD, so I'm a doctor, not that kind of a doctor as Mitch. What's the book? The last lecture, Rausch, as he says, not the kind of doctor that helps people. So even though I do help. But I have the ability to be the general practitioner. So at my school, I teach conducting, as you mentioned in that super long bio, conducting, I teach composition, I teach trumpet, I teach world music, pop music, just a jazz ensemble and such a variety of things. And not at all institutions would someone have the ability to do that. So I really enjoy that comprehensive musicianship. Like every day, each hour of the day is different. I get to talk about a different element of music. So that's what I love, particularly about where I am. And then also, we are a one-to-one iPad institution that came about in 2019, and that just kind of changed the world for me. I was always a big fan of Apple technology, but this just you know, lit a spark that just kind of has engulfed me, and I think our students as well.
I think what's very interesting is that, and I've talked to some of our guests in 2019, you guys were already one-to-one. And I know my district, we were as well, but there was a lot of districts that weren't. And then of course, what happened in 2020, everyone became one-to-one for the vast majority, at least. And so my next question is, how do you think technology in music education has evolved over the years, and specifically maybe since the pandemic?
To yes and your last thing, it was just amazing that our chancellor, you know, no one knew this was coming, but the chancellor of our university just had that sort of foresight somehow to go one-to-one for that fall semester. So when spring came and halfway through about this time of year, we went home and all of our students had iPads. So they had the ability to create the work. We were on the same a level playing field, except for that access to Wi-Fi, which at that point, we were in the mountains here of southwestern Virginia, the state of Virginia, but the southwestern part. And we sent people out with transponders and Wi-Fi connectors to try to get people online. Students were going to McDonald's to sit in the parking lot and submit their assignments. So, we had the foresight to kind of make that work. It was just incredible timing. But as far as music education, technology, you know, I'm going to sound like the get off my lawn, the old fellow. But back in the day, you know, I had a collection of CDs, so I would pride myself with saving up $15 and being able to travel an hour to the mall where I could buy a CD, maybe one, and I would listen to it all the way home, and I'd listen to it for weeks until I could get another one. Yeah. So something about that, you know, it was very special, and something about that we have lost a bit because of the access to anything. But now that students have really access to so many tools and resources that we had back in the day, YouTube for listening, and how does a trumpet player know what a trumpet's supposed to sound like if they don't hear a professional? And for me, it was buying a CD. For them, it's going to YouTube, and you can find anything you want there. Tuners and metronomes in your pocket, in your iPhone, in whatever mobile device you might have. I had to have a separate tuner and a metronome that might be about $100 each. And you just had to carry around that bulky stuff. It's all there now, and that's amazing. A recording device. Another thing, I just happen to have one here, a modern one, but something like this is what we would have to carry around with us to record ourselves practicing or our bands performing or something to be able to listen to that back. And now we can do it with our phones. It's just so handy. Audio systems in classrooms have really improved. Collections of method books. We are an all iPad institution. So all of our students, if they buy a method book, they scan the book, the pages that they're supposed to practice out of. So that way, when they go from home to the practice room, they have their iPad, they have all they need, rather than a big load of books, which is going to probably prohibit them from practicing. I wouldn't want to carry all that stuff back and forth, right? So now they're enabled. Practice tools now, some apps such as Smart Music, which allows students to practice with piano accompaniment. Guess you could say, I don't know if it was really AI, but one of those things early on that the piano could actually follow the student as they slowed down and would speed up in the music, the piano would slow and speed and to match them. Those are tools we didn't have in my day. We had to hire a pianist to come and play with us. And then the ability to create now, with iPads at our fingertips, we can create music and music education in those classes, in which in the past, we still created through performing, but it wasn't something of our personal nature that we composed. We put notes on the page or use loops to create something like that. So there's so many more opportunities, and I just hope that, young students realize what an advantage they have having these tools at their fingertips and will make the most of them. I find a lot of my students don't utilize that YouTube tip very much or as much as I would like them to listen to others and to be able to replicate those sounds.
It's funny, Donnie, as you were talking, it was like I was going back in my own head because I remember you were talking about your drive to get the CD. I remember on Saturday mornings, at least once a month, the highlight was driving to the mall where I would go with a Sam Goody, and you walked in, these all the music, and we had the cassettes, CDs, And I just remember the excitement of unwrapping the CD. And then I remember even with the cassettes, you had to look for the lyrics. The lyrics were on the actual, jacket. So that was such a, it feels like it was like yesterday and years and years ago at the same time. But you're right. It's even in that, it's just so different because now it's just so accessible. Any song you want, it's not like you put the cassette in and you got to rewind and fast forward to that.
Right.
You remember that? You could just listen to whatever you want at any time. That's a wow.
And I always enjoyed the liner notes, being able to open up and look, like you said, the lyrics of the songs, but to see who's performing on these pieces, you know, who is the trumpet player here, who is the conductor, that kind of thing. We get a little bit of that with Apple Music or Apple Classical these days. They're adding a little bit more to that, but it's just because it's so accessible, which is awesome, but it's just not as special anymore. I think we've lost that.
I'd agree. So, Donnie, as someone deeply involved in orchestration and composition, how do you balance the traditional aspects of these disciplines with innovative tech tools in your teaching?
So I think that goes a bit back to the nature of that last question that you asked.
Yeah.
So when I first started composing, I'll tell a story on myself here. I was a good student. I made good grades. But I wasn't always the best student. So I can remember Mr. Clark's literature class, when we were supposed to have read a book and we were discussing it in class, having some paper over my music staff paper. And actually I was writing music notes and not really paying attention to what was going on in class. So for bad, maybe I wasn't a good student in that time, but I was just so enamored by music that, you know, it was pencil and paper.
Awesome.
I didn't know what it sounded like at that moment. But then again, I would take it back to that computer and enter it and see what sounded great and what didn't sound so great. And so it was a trial and error type process. I didn't really have a teacher. It was just experimentation. So those were the early days for my composition. And now I and neither of my students, we don't use paper anymore. So they do. I encourage them to use something, you know, Notability with a template, which has staff paper on it. So they are writing their notes. They're getting used to writing those things so that people could read their legible manuscript. But for the most part, in my creative activity, I use an app called StaffPad. StaffPad is pretty amazing. It's a fairly expensive app, about $100 for an iPad app, which is not cheap. But it allows you to write the notes in on the staff. And it, if you tap out of the measure, automatically it pops into music notation. So it looks like professionally written music. Wow. And then the ability to play that back. So when I'm sketching my music or when I'm just sitting down to come up with, brainstorm some ideas, that's the tool that I use. It's not paper and pencil any longer. And it gives that immediate feedback. And this is with my students too, because I coach them in the same way that I practice, that if I want something to go out for publishing and distribution to get performed by an orchestra or a band somewhere, StaffPad does a pretty decent job. But I change that over, or actually retype it into a program called Dorico, which has a lot more options and a lot more features to get that music professionally notated, everything exactly as I'd like it to be, to send out to conductors and musicians who will perform that music. On the other side of that, you know, that's kind of the traditional and how the traditional has changed a bit. But also I like to compose and did a lot of this during the pandemic because we all know that we were isolated and we had, you know, habits or needs that we needed to keep up. And for me, that was making music. I didn't have the opportunity to make that with my friends any longer. So I sort of invested a little bit more money in my studio and started building that up. So I do like to compose with Logic and with some sample libraries. So I actually have basically an orchestra in my house here that I can program in some things and have it play back. And it's the sounds of the orchestra. So a lot of times I will sit at the keyboard, which I have in front of me right now, and just play some things into Logic and let it record. That's a whole different method of composition from writing with a pencil on whether it be paper or StaffPad. And I'd come out with different music that way. It's interesting that the different mediums allow us to come up with different ways of creativity. So, and also with that writing, sometimes we have to consider if we're writing for playback, like if we want to make an album and have it released, or you're writing on the program and you want it to play back the way you want to, versus changing that to be played back by people. Sometimes it's not necessarily the same language and you might need to make some adjustments. So those are some of the, like, I guess, traditional moving into modern times with composition and orchestration. I hope that answers your question without being too.
No, it did. That was very interesting. Thank you. I mean, just to find out, just to see how it has evolved, you know, how you were writing when that on that on pen and paper and how it's just completely different these days. Students really do have so much at their fingertips. And, you know, as a adjunct professor of history, I know that the expense of sometimes textbook and that can be enormous. You provide free, high quality educational resources, and that's amazing. What drives that passion for making music education accessible to all? And how do you see, that impact your students' engagement and creativity?
Oh, that's a great question. And I haven't, I'm not 100% on this yet, but in my classes, my goal is to have that no student needs to buy a textbook for any class that I teach.
That's awesome.
At the college. I'm probably maybe 50, maybe 70% there working on that. But as we became a one-to-one iPad institution, part of the impetus for that was to, you know, level the playing field for all of our students. We are in, the college is in a rural southwestern Virginia community in which, not all students were coming to campus with a computer, with some device that was necessary to complete their assignments. So they'd have to carve out time to go to the lab and type up their paper. Our chancellor had thought about this, and we had run a couple of trials with iPads to see if faculty would use them, how well they'd be received in the classroom. I was fortunate to be on the second one of that. The first one, once they sent the email, within like 2 minutes, they were all claimed. So I was bummed about that. But I got in on the second one. But our students all had that access, and we call that Innovate to Elevate with capital VA. For an Elevate for Virginia, right? So we're innovating to elevate students' abilities to create and to study and to have the tools they needed at their fingertips in the classroom, in the dormitory, residence hall, we call them now, at McDonald's, wherever, to make it easy. So we have also have a lot of first-generation college students here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a high ratio of financial aid. So anything that we can do to make it more accessible, because we all know, in teaching public school, usually books are provided. In college, you have to purchase your own book. And some students are not able to purchase that book, or they have to make a decision. Do I have enough food for this month, or do I get the textbook I need for music appreciation? And when it comes down to decisions like that, that's really heart-wrenching for me. So I don't want them to have to make that decision. So anything I can do to lighten the load helps. So I can also customize textbooks for my students because I know the students I have in my classroom, and those are not the students who may be in, a metropolitan area in California or New York. So I can customize what I need for my students. I don't have to study the chapter because I created it. There's a plus side. You invent on the front to create the resource. You know the resource because you made it. And I feel that when students perceive that the professor is invested time into their education to create those resources, they're going to be more engaged in the process. They see that it's not just me handing them something, pay $150 for this and let's read it and let's take a test. You know, I created it for them. We're going to walk through it together. So I'm invested in their learning.
And you know what's interesting, Donnie? I think that what's also interesting and what's awesome about this is that it's like a living document. Like, it can change the textbooks as you create them as year to year. So you can add things in. It's not like, okay, well, this was released 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It can be updated all the time. And, you know, you said you about 50 to 75% that way. I think that's super commendable. I mean, because, you know, it's not some rush. Let's get to 100%. You're doing it. And I mean, I think every bit of help helps. I know that when I first started teaching at college, the textbook was $72 $172. And for a lot of the students, I don't have that, you know? And so I think we've come a long way in that as far as higher ed is concerned in some ways. But I think that we have to keep moving towards that, really towards equity. So thank you for sharing that.
And continuing to move for fall, I've been awarded my first sabbaticals. I'm really excited about that. And my sabbatical project is going to be to complete at least two more Apple books to support my Everyone Can Create Music with iPad course, a book on acoustics. And we're not talking about an extensive, you know, 200, 300 page book, like a lot of college professors will write over years. This is a textbook that might be 30 to 40 pages, but it will be interactive. It will have videos, it'll have animations, things like that in there that our students can use to learn about audio, which is the connections, all the cables, and how to run a mixing board, that type of thing. And another book on acoustics, like how sound travels. And I'm envisioning putting in like some sound examples of this is what a trumpet sounds like. This is what a trumpet sounds like with echo or with reverb or with a chorus effect, so they can hear those things. I also have a couple books that are out there. Those were products of the pandemic. Let's get them out, but they weren't completely like cited and, you know, the way they should be. So I'm going to shore those up and get those ready as well. So you can see that's kind of a passion project for me. That's my goal. So
you've got to be really excited. You've got to be really excited about this.
Yeah, to have some time for that to compose and hopefully for some travel. I've not planned any yet, but, hoping to fit some of that in there.
Outstanding. So Donnie, as an Apple Distinction Educator, you are at the forefront of integrating tech into music education. And you're doing a lot. You've already named some things that you have done, your students have done. Can you name a particular transformative project or initiative that you are especially proud of?
I would say right off the bat, my first probably innovation is the creation of that Everyone Can Create Music with iPad class that I created. It was a product of the pandemic. I've talked a lot about that in other venues. And we can come back to that if you like. But more recent, it seems like every semester I try to find a course that's my innovative course. And this semester, that course is my popular world music course. It's really two different pieces of content, but because of course load and trying to have students graduate on time, we have to combine those two classes. So in that class, I'm trying out some new things. I told the students, just as I did in music appreciation last semester, that it's all an experiment. And yes, we do award grades, but don't fret. You know, there'll be grades there to measure your performance, but basically we're here to learn. So if you can demonstrate that you're learning, that you're progressing through the class, the grades don't really matter. That's hard for students to understand. Uh-huh. But I'm hoping that through this process that they're going to get that out of their heads and be appreciative of this. So we have brought in international music guest lecturers in that class via Zoom. It's something we weren't able to do or didn't think about before the pandemic necessarily as much. But just today I had a guest, an expert on Indian music, who shared with our class. Last week, we had a guest who is from Indonesia who shared Indonesian music with our class. And I'm really excited that next Tuesday, we'll have Owen Hughes, who is also an Apple Distinguished Educator in Ireland, will be sharing with our class about Irish music. So that's one of the innovations in that class, bringing the world to them, literally.
Literally, bringing the world to them.
Yeah, so we can't take a trip there, not that quickly anyway, but we'll bring those experiences. And today, you know, I can talk about the specifics of Indian music, but they have one share about how he learned this music from his mentor, from his guru, and that relationship. I can't speak to that. So these are authentic experiences that we're bringing to the students.
100%.
Along with that, I use Padlet, that app, quite a bit to gather student responses. That's kind of a daily activity. So we have the QR code, and if the students don't have it up, they scan the QR code and share their thoughts. We use the Socrative app in that class to take some retention quizzes to see if they've retained the material that they've hopefully read and to encourage them to read. There won't be any tests, but there may be quizzes. What's most exciting for me is the alternative assessment projects in there. I told them there will be no tests and they were concerned about that. How's this going to work? So it's not going to be easy. It's actually going to be more challenging because we finished the Indonesia unit just recently. And so you have to turn in some type of project that's going to demonstrate your understanding. It doesn't have to be the whole chapter, but it could be deep into one element of this, what we've talked about. Students have produced podcasts And they've, some of them have actually produced two podcasts now from two different countries, which talking about that music, which is great. We have a student who's done TikTok videos explaining this stuff on TikTok. So not only is, yes, she's completing that assignment for me, but immediately that's going out to the world. And her friends are like, what are you talking about Indonesian music on your TikTok? She's like, oh, it's an assignment, but it's cool because other people are learning through that process.
Yeah.
We've had one particular student, in an analysis, I had them, break down a song. So we're talking about the elements of music, and she changed the words to an Adele song to be, as she sang through it and played on the piano, she sang the words that described what was happening in the music about the background singers come in here. This is the chorus and that kind of thing. So she really was super creative and wrote new lyrics to the same melody and chord progression and performed that. You're not going to get that kind of, engagement on a multiple choice or essay test, right?
No. And I think that's remarkable because you're using alternative assessments there, Donnie, in a real meaningful way.
And I'm encouraging them that look beyond this class. This is not just because Dr. Sora is the iPad guy, but it's because they're going to be teachers, whether they are completing teaching licensure or whatever they're going to be doing. They're going to be sharing knowledge with someone and they need to have these abilities to do it through different mediums. So not just talking through a podcast, through a keynote presentation that's animated with voiceover. Hopefully these skills that we used to call soft skills are just skills that are necessary in the workforce. So not only are they learning about Indonesian music, Indian music, Irish music, they're learning how to use these skills in other classes and into the future.
I think what's super awesome too is that they are demonstrating to you that they understand the material, the content material, but they also are putting their own passion in. They are, you know, it is truly a way for them to express themselves. And I commend you 100% for that. And I'd love to see that
evolve even more. Cast the net wide for them to share how they want to share, demonstrate their knowledge in their own way, you'll get some amazing stuff. I just had a conversation the other day with one of the professors who was grading a music history test. Music history is kind of a deep and challenging course. She said, I have all these tests to grade. It's like, well, this morning I graded 12 projects. I graded podcasts. I graded animated videos. And it just makes it a joy because they submit this via Canvas. So if I have my iPad anywhere, I can just sit back with a cup of coffee, hit play, and watch their assessment and use the rubric to grade them. And it's no longer tedious. It's entertainment for me as a teacher.
It's true. A lot better than looking at multiple choice or long essays.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie, GarageBand, Apple's GarageBand is an amazing program. And I'm going to this because I know that you use it often and your students do. But for some, GarageBand can be intimidating. So what are your recommendations for a teacher who really wants to start using it, but they're super nervous to do that?
Yeah, I totally get it because I feel like it's the one application that's just so specific. With Pages, everybody's used to a word processor. With numbers, you know, people use spreadsheets. They're used to that. GarageBand, not everyone yet is a musician, right? So they're afraid to dive in because they don't know the terminology. They don't know what the buttons do and all that. But truly, you can't break it. So I would say step one, just get in there and play around and see what you can come up with. If you get stuck, if you get frustrated, there are ways to get help, such as the Everyone Can Create Music with on iPad, I think they call it. My class is with iPad. iPad with GarageBand. And that is, if you follow those chapters, which my students do as well, it's really easy to follow because they're images. If you're a visual learner, you can either read the text, you can swipe back and forth through the pictures to show you what buttons to click to make things happen. And before long, if you jump into the beat sequencer, the beat chapter, you'll have written a beat that, you know, if you're a teacher, your students can recite the alphabet to, or they could sing rhythms with, you know, in all kinds of cross-platform type ways. And it's fairly easy to do that. Just take my word for it. Jump into that book. Read through there, invest maybe 30 minutes, and I think you can have some instant success. Beyond that, taking a step farther, is I created a book. You mentioned earlier the Everyone Can Create Music with iPad curriculum guide. So if a teacher really is excited and wants to use this in their class, this is a whole class that's laid out. It could be used that way, or certain units could be extracted and used, such as podcasting. Apple's book has some great stuff on podcasting. I take it a little bit farther and provide some vocabulary, an assignment with a grading rubric, and all that stuff is right there. So it's really easy picking for teachers to incorporate into their classroom. I would say also just find a purpose. So yeah, playing around with it is fun, but also if you're like, you know, I would really like for my students to, or I would really like to, and then at that point you have a reason to jump in and start learning. And with that directed learning, I think you're going to do quite well. And lastly, the Apple Education Forum. I got to put a plug out for that. There are all kinds of Everyone Can Create projects on the Apple Education community there. And if you want to go a little farther, the forum has some great posts. I have some in there and some of my great colleagues. Just search for music or search for GarageBand, and you're going to find some projects where people actually use these in their classroom. So if teachers want to implement that, everything's there for them already. And also, I'll help. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, anything I can do to help you get used to GarageBand. So many people that I've met said, I don't like that GarageBand. I'm like, not yet.
And I think that's important to just try it, right? You shared so many practical, very real, like I can start right off the gate suggestions there. But the first thing is just try. Just try and experiment.
You can't break it.
You can't break it. So you've successfully guided your students in publishing introductory books on classical musical errors, called Classical Music Errors. What challenges and rewards came with that project? And how did it influence your students' engagement with music history?
Great question. The students in this class are, as they typically are in music appreciation, they're not music majors. So some of them may have musical experience. Mm-hmm. Most of them probably do not. And then going into this class, this is what I expected to do with what I already spoke about my world and pop music class. I was going to be innovative, no tests, that kind of thing. We got derailed slightly when students weren't able to access their textbooks. They weren't on the bookshelves in our bookstore. And after a week later, there was some issue with getting those books. I had already taught the fundamentals of music because I've taught that so many times. So I could just teach that at any moment. So I went through that with them and I was like, innovation, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's like, we don't have textbooks. And about that time, I attended one of the Apple resource share outs in which Jody Dienhammer had shown a book on the heart that her high school students, I believe, had created. And that just resonated with me. I was like, we can do that. I think we can do that. So as far as challenge-based learning, I went to the classroom, psyched myself up for this, put on my whole actor face and came in really frustrated and said, we can't get our textbooks. What are we going to do about this? And the student said, well, let's protest in front of the bookstore. It's like, no, that's inappropriate. Let's not do that. Not that far. And then finally, someone raised their hand and said, we can create our own books. That's a great idea. Wow. I'm glad you thought of that. So at that point, we started using Freeform to brainstorm all the content, what would be in a book. I had already done this on Freeform, but I hid it under a box on the side. But it was really cool that through leading them through that discussion of how can we create this textbook, what's going to be involved in the textbook, what tools do we need? I showed theirs and I pulled away the box and they were almost identical. So they had the same ideas of what should go into that book as what I had sort of preconceived. So rather than saying, here's what we're going to do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they came up with the ideas and we compared them and they were right on.
They're right. Student voice too there, Donnie. Student voice.
It is.
Provided that.
It is. And it's so challenges. I mean, getting back to that, I guess that's kind of the story. But the unexpected planning of the project, because it wasn't something I planned all summer to do. It just kind of popped up. Here's an opportunity. Creating the whole process, an outline. So I did draft of what we're going to do every day. So they had that outline for them because I didn't want to take up another class to spend doing that. And, you know, I had some challenges, but I reached out to, as I mentioned, AD Jody Dienhammer and Michael Hernandez, and they were great to help with, especially in grading and how do you evaluate these types of projects? they're really great with that. That was my most challenging and still can be at the end of how do you evaluate the student work when they're working in groups. Rewards. This was honestly the best connection I've ever had with a class that wasn't music majors. Music majors are with us day in and day out. We develop a relationship over four and a half years. But with these folks, when they're there for a semester and they go away, it's like you never have that opportunity to connect. But because we had so much time where they were doing group work and I could wander around and talk to them individually or as a group, we just really bonded. And it was just a great experience. We don't have that every day as a teacher. So their smiles, their curiosity, and their learning were rewards. I learned a lot of new things along the way. Developed a support network of other people who are supporting me. So I mentioned Jody and Michael. And then ultimately in the end, when I hit publish on those books and they went to Apple Bookstore, and those students went from being music appreciation students to published authors. Right. Then, you know, that was really exciting for me. And I hope it was the same for them. And I think it was. And they were engaged as creators, not consumers, not just reading a textbook, but making their own. Yes, they had to do research. They had to read other books, but they had that voice in what they shared. There was more of a depth and not a breadth. So that's something as I look to the future. I would like for students to be able to share more among groups so they know more about each other period rather than just being expert on the Baroque period, for example. So that's something I would do differently as we move forward. But the idea is that as they move, as I teach this class again, those students use these students' books. They don't have to buy a textbook. They use these as a foundation. Yes, they only cover four composers. They're very small, but they also will add on to that. So they'll supplement with maybe two or three more composers, and they'll revise what has already been written. So this is a document you mentioned earlier that will be living and changes every semester I teach this course. And before long, I'm hoping, you know, before I retire, whatever that might be, if Apple Books is still a thing, or if there's not something new, that we'll have, you know, 20 composers for each era. And this will be a comprehensive resource.
That's amazing. So Donnie, in this is kind of like a, I'm going to require you to really think beyond here. In your view, what do you think are the biggest challenges and opportunities in the field of music education today?
Well, just yesterday, I found out that there's a college with a very strong music program who is, they're releasing a lot of their professors and doing away with the majority of that program. And it's sort of been threatened, and it's happening some at the higher ed level, but again, not as much as, you know, in high schools, middle schools. So as administrators are forced to make choices about, you know, finances or finances, we can only afford what we have, and something has to be cut. I understand that's a tough spot, but sometimes the first thing to be cut is the arts, because they're not, you know, in Virginia, we have standards of learning. We have tests that happen so often, so they're not mandated like that. So it's fairly easy to remove those. And I would, you know, argue that those are critical in the development of a human being, whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's theater, and even athletics, you know, to that extent, that gives that sense of belonging. Like for me, if it hadn't been for that, I would not be here doing anything that I'm doing now. But it gives that opportunity for social emotional learning and to let someone know what it feels like to be a person and not just a computer. As many folks say also, as we move into the future, that those are the skills that we'll need, because AI will be able to do a lot of the other things, that computational type thing. But they'll need creative folks who'll be able to create the prompts for AI and do things such as that. So I think, you know, recognizing the value of the arts in general within the curriculum is very important. That's a challenge. Another thing for music teachers, particularly band directors, I served as a band director for 7 years. I say served like it was the military or something, but it wasn't. It was great. But that kind of leads to this. I guess that just kind of came out wrong. But to work-life balance, because a music educator, especially a band director in high school, and this can happen to anyone, but they get so involved in their job because music is not I don't know. I'm not a mathematician, but I have a feeling that when someone finishes their math class and they go home for the day, they make great papers, but they don't sit around thinking about math and they don't go out with their friends and work math problems. But for a musician, we teach all day. We come home. We practice our instrument. We may go play in the symphony. We may compose. So music is a lifestyle, and it's very hard to delineate that time between what is work and what is play.
Well,
because it's all encompassing. So I really kind of encourage teachers to consider that and find a line to do things for them. If it's music, if that's what they love to do and that's their release, fantastic. If it's something else, they need to get away from that for a while, do. So that becomes a challenge. So opportunities. Let's look on the bright side. I think I've spoken some to this already, is that as an innovator, there are so many opportunities that kind of allow us to do and redefine music education. We've lived with what we call the band, chorus, orchestra model for many years, and that's what most schools offer. You know, maybe a general music class, but in band, if you don't get into band in sixth grade or maybe seventh grade, you're probably not going to join in 10th grade. Because you're probably so far behind that there's not a place for you to jump in quickly and easily to get in. Of course, that's a little bit easier, but I would advocate that as we can, that we find new courses to teach, which reach more of an audience. And now band, chorus, and orchestra is fine. That's a great model. But class guitar, anybody can really, you know, come in and pick up a guitar and learn together. Something like the Everyone Can Create. So if a school has access to iPads, something like the Everyone Can Create Music with iPad class, in which students learn to podcast, to make beats, to write songs, those kind of things, that's going to reach a wide audience more so, especially in high school, than those who have been in band all the way through. So I think just reevaluating and thinking about what opportunities are there, what other courses we might be able to develop with the resources that we have, or finding ways to get those resources to make those things happen. I think those are great opportunities for music education as we move into the, the 22nd century.
Yeah, and it's funny. It was always 21st. We're already in. Mid 21st here, you know. Thank you for sharing that, Donnie. You're right. And there are challenges. And I resonate with a lot of those challenges because I hear that oftentimes from music educators that, you know, the back and forth with, you know, the core subjects. Let me tell you something. That is, the arts are essential to the entire child. You said that, to the whole child. And it really does break my heart. And it should break everyone's heart when an arts program is taken out of a school. Because that oftentimes can provide the soul of that child. And also, just like you, Donnie, the path forward. And thank you for sharing that, Donnie. I appreciate that. And I have one more question here for you, Donnie. If people want to get in touch with you or follow you on social media, what are the best ways to do so?
Yeah. So if you follow probably on most, like Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it these days, LinkedIn, SoundCloud, I have some audio, some recordings, some compositions up there. YouTube, I also have some videos. It's a mix of kind of professional and personal things there, but there's something probably for everyone. Apple Music, most of those things, either Donald Sorum. I typically go by Donnie, so for my friends. So if you want to reach out to me, either way is cool. But Donald Sorum or D Sora, D-S-O-R-A-H, at most of those places like Twitter, X. And then also just encourage them to look up on Apple Music, on all the streaming platforms, the University of Virginia's College at Wise. And I think we have the only albums out there. And those are albums that were created through students in my Everyone Could Create Music with iPad class.
Awesome. Thank you, Donnie. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. You are truly a maverick and innovator within the music education field. And I personally can't wait to see what great things you're going to continue to accomplish in the years ahead.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I really want to support fellow teachers and learners. So if there is anything I can do to help you, please reach out. If you found something here that you're interested in, that I can support you along that journey, let me know. Also, I failed to share my email address, but you can find me at the University of Virginia's College at Wise. Email would be DWS4W. at uvawise.edu. Please let me know how I can support you. I'm always glad to collaborate and support others.
Thank you again, Donnie. All right, everyone. Until we meet again, stay inspired, stay positive, and have the best day ever.